Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church. If you turn to the first page in your bulletin, you have announcements. With them announcements, food bank, please fill that bin up and donate in cash as possible. It's a great opportunity just to help with your community and be a service to them. Books by Pastor Matthew, Join in the Journey, and Song by the Night, $10 each. Proceeds will benefit the church. Our cooking class is to be scheduled, so we don't know about that. But art class with Wayne Clements to be decided, to be determined. Third Thursday, April 17th, lunch fellowship at 1 p.m. All are welcome to the Golden Corral at Market Boulevard coming. Next Sunday, March 30th, Celebration Sunday, we will have lunch after service. All are welcome to come. And the budget for 2025 and financial update is available. If you turn to page 338, we'll have the opening hymn, Where He Leads Me. Bow your heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you to letting people come to your church and worship you. Thank you that you're with us every day and you come with us to help us every day. For people who could not come here today, please pray for them and please help them with anything else. Thank you that every day you follow us and lead us to the right path. Thank you. Every time we do something, you help us through it. So Lord, what I say today is please help us during this service to have a great service, and please help everybody in here if they're ever needing help. So Lord, thank you, and Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now it'll be greeting time, so you can get up and greet.
Standing on the Promises, page 374.
In the highest and shall dance.
Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof,
the world and the those.
For God has founded it upon the seas,
and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts,
who do not lift up their souls to the Lord, and who do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord,
and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord,
who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is the ruler of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is this ruler of glory?
The Lord of hosts, the Lord of glory.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, now we have concerns and blessings. If you turn to the back of your bulletin. Please pray for Gene McBrayer, Gracie Haynes, Harry Boser, Carol Clements, Jerry Raines, George Richard Jones, the Tiffin family, and the family of Wes, Sean and Amy Conway, and please pray for your service workers out there, military, police, firefighters, paramedics, all them. Please pray for nation leaders, world leaders, and church leaders, that they will make the right decisions. And please pray for the nation leaders that they will have the fear of God to make the right choices in the things they do.
And do we have any concerns?
Yeah.
Thank you for your prayers. I just want to pause this recording. How do you do it? Can just pause it. Yeah, just pause. Some of my stories of my journey with my sickness, I just didn't want the whole world to listen, especially my brother and mom in India. I don't want to get right. They watched this too. I had to pause this. I have had this ongoing headaches for years, like 20 years plus now, maybe ever since I was born. But since you are a kid, I still remember that while I was school, I had headaches. And when you are in middle school and high school back in India, then you say you have a headache, they say you don't want to go to school, and you're trying to find an excuse. So I lived with it for a long time. I remember in middle school, several years I had trouble. And they didn't, parents did not make much of it, and people did not, I don't know if they have anything for headache. But when it came to high school, it became a problem, so I was taken to an eye doctor, and he said it's my eye problem, so gave me glasses to wear. I did it for about 6 months and gave up. It didn't make me any different. So I just went on, and I didn't care much. When I was growing up, I think I was fighting it, and during your healthy days, you can fight a lot of these things, but eventually it will catch up with you. So I've been on medication since probably 2000. and neurology medication for migraines. That's what they diagnosed it. And then eventually they diagnosed it as a cluster headache because the medicines, the migraine medications will wear out in about 3 or 4 years, 5 years. You have to, you know, like allergy medication, you have to try something different. So I know some of you who have headaches know that every time you change your medication, there's a trial period. Because every medication doesn't work for everybody. So you have to try it. So you learn that medical science is not a science, really. It's a trial and error method, really. That's what they do. They give you this medicine. See if it works for you. Good. If it doesn't, we'll try another medicine. Yeah. So we, can, you know, you don't have to go to medical school to do that, really. So that's why I wanted to turn this off. So what I wanted to tell you is that if you find out that you are in the end of a diagnosis rope and your doctor is trying to, you know, that's what my doctors have been doing, because they run out of options. That they don't know much, and I get headache every day now. So. Every time you said you go to the doctor, you hear, the first time I heard this, a 40, 50 year old doctor telling you he never heard this before, it makes me scary to go back, right? He doesn't know what's good. So that's why my son is a doctor, you probably, some of you know that. So he told me to call Mayo Clinic. And I didn't have any idea what Mayo Clinic was. I heard about it, but I didn't know how you get admission there. He said, anybody can go there. And this people from international come and take advantage of facility, which we don't. So he told me to call them. And I called them first time in Florida, which is closer to us. And they said, well, we don't take migraine headaches here. We have other things to do here. He was very discouraging and, you know, very dissuasive to, you know, to take it. Because they have other people to take care of. I understand that. But I have a problem that nobody can figure out. I told her that. But he said, well, try another facility. We don't have time for you. Okay, she hung up. Don't give up on that. So I called Minnesota, their main center, and they went through a whole history for an hour, you know, my medication, my history, and that's how they decided they want to give you an appointment, because if it is something minor you can treat locally, go ahead and do with the local treatments. But they will evaluate that and give you an appointment based on your history and the medications you take. They finally figured out that my options probably is at the end of the roads. So they gave me an appointment with a neurologist, one of the great neurologists. And this neurologist, not a neurologist only, she's only headache. She does only headaches. That's the greatest thing of Mayo Clinic. So she has been treating headaches for like 5 years now, and she's did research on it, and that is great. Go there and have an appointment, and you have to go there, fly there, or drive there. But people are very nice there. So if you are in a situation like me, call them up and don't give up, and they will get you some accommodation somewhere. And go there and see the facility there. It's like, I don't know how many hundred acres of this one building. It's all connected together inside. It's like a city inside with a whole subway where you can walk around the whole city underneath. Shops and hotels and restaurants, all kinds of restaurants. You don't have to go outside for anything. You can still stay there. And there are hotels outside if you have long-term care treatment need for a month or two, especially with cancer patients. It's a very good place to go. And neurology and cancer treatments are the best that I heard there. A lot of people come there, and the hotels are very well built for Mayo Clinic. They have shuttles from every hotel to Mayo Clinic every hour. So you have free shuttle. And they have long-term stay accommodations there that will give you, like 1 month, 2 months, if you want to stay there for discounted rates. And the hotel people and the people in the whole community are so lovely and nice that they don't treat you as a sick person. They treat you as a family person. And the neurologist who saw me and my wife together spent an hour and a half. I never had a doctor see me more than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Never. The best you can get usually is like 5 minutes. In and out, in and out. So they are not working for money. And I looked at and searched for some of the things that the doctors, they are the best in the field, but the lowest paid in the field too. They are working there for a mission. That is the great thing about it. Some of them probably don't stay longer because if you have financial interest, they might go for other things. But having that in your resume makes you valuable. But whoever does work there are dedicated people. And most of the people I talk to have worked there, doctors and nurses, 15 years, 20 years. They don't leave there. It's so nice. And you don't feel like you are in a hospital or a clinic. You feel like you are like in a five-star hotel. Even the doctor's office has a sofa. It doesn't look like a doctor's office. It's a sofa and there's a doctor's table and a large room. So please, if you have anybody that you know struggling with any issues like that, call them up and use the facility. Coming back to my diagnosis, a lot of things that the local doctors did was okay, but they found out that some of the medications that I had been given was being not encouraged, or even some of them were discontinued. So she told me to stop all of that. That is a great thing. I didn't know that some of the medications had an effect on your heart. My doctor knew I had heart problems. So she said, stop all of that. So she gave me some new medications. And it's they do a real thorough work about your background and history. And they have connections to all the systems of network, Emory, Northside, WellStar, because they are linked up with everybody, so they can pull your data down. So my images, all of that stuff, they can download and get it for you. And they do a great job, not like the ones that I have been here in many. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about our doctors. I mean, they do a good job, and they're doing their best. But many of these corporations are buying them out and making it profit-oriented, that rather than patient-oriented. That's what happens. So we need to do something about it. Hopefully somebody will do something one day. Let's pray about this. But this is a different world, different thing. Just call them up, you know, even if it's just for a visit. You know, thank you for all your prayers. And we'll continue to go there. I have three specialties that she suggested that she needs to work with. So they will give me appointments for a neurocardiologist, a neuro ophthalmologist. And Vicky was right, because she said you may have something to do with the nerves of your eye. And Vicky said that one time, go see an ophthalmologist. So they have specialties called a neurocardiologist, a neuro-ophthalmologist, and neuro-ENT. I don't know if they have it locally, so I'm going to get these appointments with them.
Ear,
nose, and throat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she says it's not merely migraine or headache. I may have something going on beyond that. So they will get to she said they will get to the bottom of it with all these specialties together. Working together makes a big difference. Yeah, so my doctor did an MRI of my brain, but she said she would suggest an MRI of my neck rather than my brain. So she's going to do that, and I can get it done locally here. The other thing is that any procedure that they suggest they can do, you can do come here and do it locally, so you can go home and take care of yourself. You don't have to stay there longer time. They work with you and work with your doctor. So what a great blessing that we have as a country. A lot of people that I see there are international. They're coming from all over the world. So please call them and take advantage of it. Thank you for your prayers. And continue to pray for all of our dear ones who are going through various issues and situations. God is good.
Amen.
He's the healer of our bodies. No matter where we are in what point of our life, we think we are old, but God doesn't.
Amen.
God doesn't think we are old. God thinks that we are closer to God as we grow older. So that is the blessing, that to get older means we are getting closer to God. And then we come to a point where we want to be away from this world and to be with God. That is when God calls us. And we as believers are prepared for it, right? We want to be with Jesus one day. And the earlier the better. No pain, no suffering. We can enjoy the presence of God every day. So let us continue to pray for each other and share our concerns and burdens. And it's not you and me. Everybody has problems in their bodily and physically and spiritually. Let us continue to keep our dear ones in our prayers. Are there any special call-outs for prayer? Anybody have anybody in prayer? If not, let us continue to do our prayer time. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer. Then I'll close with the summarized prayer.
Want to start back the recording?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Spend a few moments in silent prayer and we'll close with a summarized prayer. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time that you've given us to come together to worship you and also pray together for our blessings, and thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And we also thank you for all the opportunities that you give us to pray for each other, the blessings that we receive as well as the burdens that we have. We bring all that at your feet. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. As your children, as we live in this world, your grace is all that we need. Like Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and it's all that you need." You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good things for us, O God. And we thank you for that. We come before you with our burdens and concern. Many of us are broken in many different ways, Lord. We need healing in our bodies, especially the dear ones that we have called out here by name. Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Jerry, George, and Sean and Amy Conway, all of these people who are looking for healing. We pray that you will touch them with your healing hand. When we unite in prayer, you will heal our dear sick ones. And also we pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, like Tiffany and family. Bless them with your grace and comforting presence, Lord. We thank you for being with me and my wife as we're traveling and giving us the directions that we need. We pray for your guidance for the doctors to find the right diagnosis and the right medications that I can take. We pray for all of those, our dear ones, who are struggling with various issues. Pray that you will guide them in the right direction and give them the peace, above all, for their families and for themselves. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who are serving us on the background. We thank you for them and their services and pray for them and their families. We pray for our nation, our presidents, leaders of the Congress, and all the people who make decisions in many different ways that affect our lives. We pray that you will give them the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to to do the right thing and make the right decisions. We pray for world leaders, and we pray that you'll give them the fear of God in their hearts, that they will also make decisions that will bring peace and unity in this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for a blessed church and a group of people that we can, even though we are small, we are united in spirit and love. Help us, Lord, to spread that love to this community, to the people who are in need around us. Bless us together, Lord, to bring other people closer to you, to use the opportunities that you give us in this community faithfully to serve others. We pray for all the churches around this community, Lord, and the pastors and the leaders of the church and the bishops and all those who are working together. We pray that you'll bless them with your grace to do their work faithfully. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the people and saints in this world and angels in heaven, Lord. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed in everything we do here. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may take up the offertory, please.
This morning, we thank you, Lord, for all of those that gave and all of those that wasn't able to give. But Lord, we ask you to continue to bless each and every one. And now, Lord, we hope this money will be used to uplift your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing as we read the scripture. Comes from Psalm 23.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside a quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I greet you in the name of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning for another opportunity to teach your word. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for waking us up this morning, for all of those that are here this morning, Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would have your own way. Have me behind the cross as you come forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before I get into my message, though, I would like for us just to pray, give Ivory a big clap, hand of praise because of what he's doing this morning. And it is so wonderful that we get young people that want to work for the Lord.
Yes.
And he's so confident. I mean, I just don't know what to say about him. It just, I say that God's hand is on him because he seems like it just comes natural to him.
He's energetic, unlike we old people.
Well, we once was energetic, but not anymore. We not old.
Oh, okay.
We're just recycled teenagers. We're not old, Wayne.
Okay.
We don't call ourselves, do we? So with that said, we're going to look at, we're going to use for a thought, maybe a subject, or however you want to look at it yourself, is the benefits of a Christian. You know, it's very important. It's just like you're paying your car insurance or your house insurance or your health insurance. There are benefits. And so there are benefits of serving the Lord as we look into this word of Psalm of David this morning. The psalm was written by David in 2000 BCE while he was king. It is believed that he was going through turmoil at the time of this writing. So just for a moment, we're going to first look at sheep. Now, sheep on their own will starve. They don't have enough scent to move to greener pastures. When their own is stripped of grass, they will wander into traps, standing helpless while the predators stalk them. Of all God's creatures, few are more helpless than sheep. Now, the word sheep appears in the Old Testament 151 times. And in the New Testament, it appears 40 times. It's interesting to me that God called us his sheep. We so often think we have completely control over our lives and over everyday things. And we plan and we think we just got everything. If you've noticed, sometimes you think you got everything all planned out, and then here come God upset your whole plan. So, but we don't have control. We really helpless like sheep. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." It's true. God died for all. But only those who actually accept him by faith are his sheep. His saving work is sufficient for all. David knew that God being his shepherd, he concluded that I don't have to want for anything. That was good for him. David was probably thinking about when he himself was a shepherd. He knew by experience about the care and the loving, tender care that God, the shepherd, had for his sheep. Because if we look at this word picture, we're going to see that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Now, David had once given his life for his sheep because one of the lions had come to take one of the little baby sheep, and David went after him and rescued his sheep. Now, God takes us into his fold, and he provides for us. We must know the shepherd's voice and follow him. We like sheep by nature are foolish and vulnerable. We easily can go astray. Without a shepherd, we scatter and become entrapped by various worldly enticements, and enemies. Jesus is not merely doing the job. He's committed to love us and even lay down his life for us. When we, like David, consider that God is our shepherd, we can boldly say, "I shall not want." The good shepherd is all sufficient, whose resources are inexhaustible. In Psalms 34, 8 through 9, David writes, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The Lord provides us mentally, physically, spiritually, morally, and financially. I mean, I have everything that I desire, but I have everything that I need. And I shall, and if I don't have it, I know that the desires of my heart right now, I know that God is not for me. Have you ever looked back on your life and you see sometimes that you wanted something so bad, but then it turned out God didn't give it to you, but you find out later that it wasn't good for you anyway. So God knows what we want. But then I always live on this phrase also. When we love God, God said in his word that those that love me, I will give them the desires of their hearts. So if you love God, you're in the right relationship with him, and you follow him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Because that's what he promised. That is one of his promises. When we take the first step in obedience and following God, we will discover that he is a good God. And not only he's a good God, but he's a kind God. From David's experience, he knew nothing to fear. When evil is all around us, we are happy saints in God's green pastures. Paul said in 4:12-13 in Philippians, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. I know how to get along with humble means and plenty. I can do everything through Christ who strengthened me. Content sheep are satisfied and happy with whatever they have. They don't envy other sheep that have another pasture in another pasture. Instead of complaining about what we do not have, let us be thankful for what God has provided. Peter wrote in Second Peter, chapter 1, verses 3-4, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to the life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The power to live a godly life comes from God. God allows us to be partakers of his divine nature in order to keep us from sin and to help us to live for him. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and I am known by my own. Jesus, we can praise God that we have an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comforts us so that we can comfort others. We are coming, who are going through a difficult time, and I think Ari kind of got in my message that a little bit this morning. If y'all remember what he said, that we can comfort others. Because we never know what other people might be going through. Because we all have issues. You know, some of us admit that we got them, and some of us put our heads in the sand and we deny it. But we all have issues, and at our age and our time in life, we all are going through something. And so, so God comforts us so that we can be able to comfort other people. Not just for us. Everything that God gives us, he gives us so we can share with others. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I like to call him my three M's. My model, my messenger, and my mentor. He begged me to lie down in green pastures. We have comfort in this life from God's hand. We who have tasted the goodness of the Lord can rejoice, though we might have little of this world. It is our green pastures. God gives us quiet and contentment in our mind, no matter what our environment might be. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4-9, says, sorrowful, yet always joyful. Poor, but yet making many rich. As having nothing and possessing all things. When our soul is at ease with God, we are in our green pastures. We are well led and we are well guided. He leads me beside the still water, David says. When we feed on God's word and God's goodness and follow his direction, he directs our eyes, our ways, and our heart into his love. God not only provides food and rest, but refreshment and pleasure. God does not lead his people to standing water, which can corrupt and gather filth, not to a rolling sea or to a rapid rolling flood, but to still standing still running water. That's best for our spirit that flows towards God. Because you know, a sheep will not get in rolling water. A sheep will not get in filthy water. It has to be still and quiet, slowly running. And then he goes on and say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads us for the righteousness for him, not for us and our benefits. He says, he instructs us by his word and directs our conscience in a way that is pleasant. We cannot walk through these paths unless God both lead us into them and lead us in them. And it goes on to say, he restores my soul. When David sinned with Bathsheba, and you all know the story, he not only did he sin with Bathsheba, but he also had Uriah killed. And now, God sent Nathan down there to prophesy to David so David could see himself. Because you know, sometimes we can't repent until we see ourselves. And sometimes we don't see ourselves unless somebody else show it to us. So Nathan goes down there to prophesy to David. And he tells David, he says, David, there was a man that had many sheep. But then the other man didn't have but one sheep. The man with many sheep took the man's one sheep. So David still don't see himself. So he replied, well, he should be killed. And Nathan told him, that man is you. And David repented from his sins. And that's why he could say, he restores my soul. Because you know, God will suffer for us to fall into sin. But one thing about a good God, he will not suffer us to lie in sin. He always restores us. All we have to repent. But you know, God, I be like David sometimes. Well, most of the time I said I want to be like David. Because what God said about David, brother, God said David was a man after my own heart. David, every time David, now he wasn't perfect. Now we know David sinned, but every time David sinned and he saw himself, he always repented. And that's what we, as sheep of God and saints of God, that we have to repent. And once we repent, God forgives us and restores us. David said in one psalm, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but I know you Bible scholars know. He said, I have sinned, and not only have I sinned, but I have sinned against you. We don't realize when we sin, that we are sinning against God. And you know, sometimes I know we think we just sin against a person, but we actually sinning against God. David said, "Yo, I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. We may be in the midst of a deep, dangerous, deep valley. Yet we can be at ease because if the shadows of death has no substance or evil in it. The shadow of a serpent will not sting. The shadow of a sword will not kill. In the shadow of the valley is dark and dirty to God's people. But to God's people, it's dark and it's dirty. But to God's people, it's a pleasant walk to get safely to the other side. There is no evil on the other side. The children of God know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It might kill our bodies, but it can't touch our soul. The good shepherd will be with his sheep through the valley, and his presence and his word and his spirit will go with us as we walk through the dark valleys of life, even into the valleys of death. Our love for God, God's love for us never ends. And then he goes on to say his rod and his staff to comfort us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the shepherd, the thief came only to steal, slaughter, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. With all the fullness and completeness, without submission to the protection control of the shepherd, the sheep set themselves up to be destroyed by evil. You know, you can look around you and not only do you have to experience everything for yourself. Because, you know, I'm going to say this a little while. My grandfather used to tell me growing up, I grew up with my grandmother and my grandfather from the time I was 8 years old. And he used to tell me, he said, "Let me tell you something, child, girl." He called me girl all the time. He said, "Only a fool have to learn everything for themselves. So you can look at other folks' lives and see what happened to them. And if you do the same thing will happen to you." So, we like sheep. We see people that move away from God. They seek all the worldly things. But in the very end, it don't pay off. Only what we do for Christ is going to last. All this other stuff be left behind. And now, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can defile." We need to take up the full armor of God so that we can stand in the evil days, having girdled our loins with truth, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The shepherd used the rod to count his sheep. He used the staff to drive away the dogs that were with the sheep. David said he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God prepared all that we need for our bodies and our soul. That we need on this earth and into eternity. Now this table that God has set before us, it's got meat, and that cup is meat, and in that other cup is water for the thirsty. And you know that in that table is enough for you, me, and all your friends and all your family. Everything we need is on that table. And David went on to say, "He anointed my head with oil, my cup running over." The good shepherd can only give only good gifts. Occasionally, sheep try to go through the fence and get things that are not good for them. Now, don't we do that too? Y'all might well say amen. I know you do. We all do. I'm not the only one that do that. We always lustering after stuff that we don't need, that is not even good for us. But the shepherd would honor them with anointing their heads with oil to heal up the scratches and keeps the flies away. The good shepherd knows not exactly what we need. And don't when we out trying to get stuff that's not good for us, don't God heals us? He heals us just like he put that anointing. He gives us a special anointing, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to keep us and cover up them scratches and all the things that we did that was wrong. And he heals our spirit. Not only do we heal our spirit, but God heals our bodies also. And I'm a living witness to that. But today's time, but anytime you want to hear my story, I'll take time to tell it to you. But I'll tell you like this. Pastor, don't worry about a thing. This is direct to our pastor. Don't worry about what the doctors say, because you got the best doctor it is in Jesus Christ. Because when the doctor gave me up for dead, said I wouldn't live but a couple of days. That was almost 14 years ago. And I'm standing before you today. Because God got the last say. And God is still in the healing business. I'm telling you, he's still healing. And like that song, "Standing on the Promises," that would keep me going. Because according to the doctors, I should be in a wheelchair now. But I'm standing on the promises of God. And I know that God is a good God. And not only that he's good, but God is good all the time. And then he says, "And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life." But every moment in our life, God give us goodness and mercy every day, every hour. We live off His mercy and His grace, whether we know it or not. God gave us grace to come to church this morning. He gave us grace to get out of the bed. So we serve a good God. We serve a good God. And when things don't appear that they're working out, even during the worst of time, the good shepherd can will provide us with the best. God has not promised us. I'm going to tell you what God hadn't promised. Because sometimes people think we think that it's part of God's promise, but God did not promise us that the sky would always be blue. And that would always be flowers on our pathway as we walk through life. God had not promised us sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But He has promised us to give us strength, to get us through every day, and to give us rest for our labor. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, as the water out of the rock follows the Israelites through the wilderness. It follows us through life, even to the last. Whom God loved, He loved to the end. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we leave this earth, we will go into a better place. John said in 4:22-23, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. I've gone there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come and receive you unto me again and take you with me, and there you may be, I am with you always. I can look forward, and we can look forward to eternal life, because Jesus promised this to all who believe in Him. Although the details of eternity are unknown, we need not to fear death, because Jesus is preparing for us, and He will spend eternity with us. And I just want to encourage you with these few last words as I close. Yeah, I encourage you to embrace God's love and find strength and hope and continue to walk in faith. Amen.
Amen.
Now with that, I'll have for our closing song. On page 370, Victory in Jesus.
I heard it all, the story, how the Savior.
Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your face, amen, give us traveling grace. Anoint us so that we may spread your message throughout this community, wherever we might go, and whoever we might meet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Turn this off.